Today is Sunday, March 15th, 2020. What a week this has been around our world. We are not worshiping together in person at First Baptist Church Malden today due to our attempt to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus COVID-19. Health officials are recommending everyone participate in social distancing at this time. President Trump has declared today to be a national day of prayer for this pandemic. Some suggestions I would like to offer as we pray, whether it's today or whether you're listening to this on some other date, but spend a few moments in prayer. To remember all the school students, teachers, and administrators who are into a forced time of vacation and time off right now. Also, students who rely on school meals and where their nutrition will be coming in the coming weeks. Parents of school students who are quickly arranging care for their children as the parents may still be trying to work. Also, the homeless population, often already distanced, now more so. The Malden Warming Center has made the painful decision to close after this evening for the year. And the Bread of Life program will begin providing only takeout meals this coming Tuesday. We also want to remember those who are institutionalized right now, especially those with mental illness, who may not understand why their loved ones are not able to visit. And also we want to remember the elderly who are more susceptible to this and to experience major complications from this disease. Today I'm going to use the words of the Reverend Carolyn Winfrey Gillette, a Presbyterian pastor and contemporary hymn writer who published a hymn this week on this very subject and has released the possibility and permission to use it in local churches. She says that she used Jim Wallace's publication, Loving Your Neighbor in a Time of Coronavirus, as a background for her writing of this. So I invite you, it is entitled God Whose Will is Health and Wholeness. I invite you to pray with me now as I read the words of this hymn. God, whose will is health and wholeness, hear your people as we pray. Many now are facing illness. More face sickness every day. As we lift our song toward heaven, may we use the gifts you give, science, justice, and compassion, to help others safely live. Jesus taught that your commandments call for us to use the mind. May we use the gifts of science, to seek health for humankind. Bless the ones who work for healing. Bless the ones who seek to be builders of a healthcare system that protects society. God, you call for love and justice, yet our laws are far from wise. Many don't have good insurance. Lack of healthcare threatens lives. Many workers must keep working, sick or not, to pay the bills. Turn us round when we have sanctioned greed that leads to greater ills. Loving God, we ask your blessing on the sick and those they love, and we pray for those now grieving as they lift their cries above. There is trouble all around us. Illness causes pain and fear. Give compassion, love, and kindness as we serve your people here. We ask this all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today's scripture passage comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then Samuel consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by. But Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons that you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down for the sacrifice until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. How would you define the word courage? Grace under pressure is the answer often attributed to the author Ernest Hemingway, although to be accurate, he never actually said the word courage. A profile in the New Yorker says that he was asked, "Exactly what do you mean by guts?" And Hemingway responded, "I mean grace under pressure." Some books mistakenly quote him as saying, "Courage is grace under pressure." But guts or courage, what's the difference really? The line is part of a conversation about courage, and it became famous after it appeared in the New Yorker. Later, Senator John F. Kennedy used the line in the first chapter of his book, Profiles in Courage. The book contains the stories of 8 United States senators and the ways in which they responded gracefully to pressure, sometimes risking their popularity and their careers. All showed courage, grace under pressure. Let's look at a few other examples. St. Patrick, whose feast day is coming up this week. When he was about 16, he was captured by Irish pirates from his home in Britain and taken as a slave to Ireland and ended up looking after animals there. He lived there for 6 years before escaping and returning to his family in Britain. After being ordained, he returned to Ireland as a missionary. He was not always readily accepted, and his position as a foreigner was not an easy one. His refusal to accept gifts from kings placed him outside the normal ties of kinship, fosterage, and affinity. Legally, he was without protection, and he wrote that he was on one occasion beaten, robbed of all he had, and put in chains, perhaps awaiting execution. But yet he continued to serve Christ and became known as the primary patron saint of Ireland. Another example of a courageous person was Witold Pilecki, a Polish soldier who in 1940 volunteered to join a German roundup so he could report on what was going on inside a new concentration camp called Auschwitz. Then there's Jeremiah Denton, an American prisoner of war in Vietnam, who signaled the abuse that POWs were suffering by blinking in a propaganda video. The message, T-O-R-T-U-R-E, torture in Morse code. We should also remember Harriet Tubman, who escaped slavery via the Underground Railroad and then risked re-enslavement and death. She returned to the South on at least 19 trips to guide as many as 300 enslaved Americans to freedom. And more recently, Dr. Li Wenliang was working at the Wuhan Central Hospital in China when he noticed 7 cases of a virus that he thought looked like SARS, the virus that led to a global epidemic in 2003. On December 30th, 2019, he sent a message to fellow doctors in a chat group warning them about the outbreak and advising they wear protective clothing to avoid infection. 3 days later, he was sanctioned by the police to stop making false comments. What Dr. Li didn't know then was that the disease that had been discovered was an entirely new coronavirus, one that he became infected with and ultimately died from on February 7th, 2020. All of these people faced tremendous pressure, and they responded with grace. That is, they showed fitness and goodness in difficult situations. Their excellence and personal power seemed to come straight from God. All of these are profiles in courage. Another story of grace under pressure comes from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel. The prophet Samuel was active during the reign of King Saul, Israel's first king, and he was not impressed by the king's leadership. As chapter 16 of 1 Samuel begins, the Lord says to the prophet, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel." God instructs Samuel to fill his horn with oil and take a trip to see a man named Jesse in Bethlehem. The Lord tells Samuel that he has identified a new king from among the sons of Jesse. But Samuel asks, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." Samuel knows that King Saul is powerful and ruthless. He will not hesitate to remove those who oppose him. God comes up with a cover for Samuel, saying, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Then Samuel, believing that God is with him, takes a leap of faith and hits the road to Bethlehem. When have you taken a similar leap, trusting that God is with you? Perhaps you've been the new kid in school, walking into homeroom for the first time and sensing everyone's eyes are on you. Or perhaps you were the new employee at a big firm, hired right out of college. Or perhaps you were a member of a wedding couple, making marriage vows in front of family members and friends. Or maybe a police officer going out on a night patrol. Or a member of the military on deployment in a war zone. Maybe you've been a friend who is challenged to speak the truth in love and hold another friend accountable. All require leaps of faith, trusting that God is with you. All require grace under pressure. The good news from 1 Samuel is that God provides a way. God does not simply say to Samuel, "Go anoint a new king. Lots of luck." No, the Lord gives Samuel a path to walk, one that will not arouse the suspicions of King Saul. When we face challenging situations, the Lord will be with us too. Our Christian faith gives us outstanding guidance about how to behave as students, employees, marriage partners, police officers, soldiers, neighbors, friends, and even church members. By speaking and acting in ways consistent with our faith, we can walk in hope and love and show real grace under pressure. We can face uncertainty and danger with confidence, knowing that the Lord will give us the excellence and the power that we need. With the help of God, each of us can be a profile in courage. Samuel discovers this to be true when he walks into Bethlehem. The elders of the city are trembling when they come to meet him, and they say, "Do you come peaceably?" They know that there is conflict in the land, and that Saul has been rejected as king. Israel is as divided as we are as a country, with red state citizens not wanting to deal with blue state citizens, and vice versa. The elders worry that the prophet Samuel will inflame tensions in the little town of Bethlehem. But Samuel says, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he invites Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice as well. We could say that Samuel is a non-anxious presence among the people of Bethlehem. He doesn't come to stir up trouble, but to perform an important ritual in the lives of the people. We can do the same when we practice our faith today. Our challenge as Christians in a polarized society is to sacrifice to the Lord, as Samuel did, and to sanctify ourselves to become ever more holy servants of God. When we are able to worship together, we should confess our sins, hear God's word, pray for ourselves and others, and practice the ordinances. This should always be done peaceably, with respect for our brothers and sisters across the social, economic, educational, and political spectra. It is true that our Christian faith has political implications. We must address moral issues that shape the choices we make as individuals, as well as the decisions of our elected leaders, like activist Malala Yousafzai, who can stand up for the education rights of girls and women, like Chef Jose Andres, who can work to make sure that victims of natural disasters get the food they need to survive. But there is no room for partisan politics in the life of the church. Like Samuel, we should focus on sanctifying ourselves and making sacrifices to the Lord. Coming together peaceably whenever we gather as a church is another way that we show grace under pressure. Then Samuel takes a look at each of the sons of Jesse, and he listens carefully to what God is saying to him. At first, the oldest son, Eliab, looks like the one, but God says to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." It takes courage to look beyond outward appearance, because the world tends to favor people who are tall and good-looking and experienced. But the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse calls each son, Abinadab. Samuel says, "No." Shammah, "Nope." Nathaniel, "Nope." Radai, "Nope." Azam, "Nope." Then Samuel asks Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" Jesse says that only the youngest is left, and he is out watching the sheep. So Samuel orders him to summon the boy. And when he arrives, God says, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Samuel anoints David as king in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord comes powerfully upon David from that day forward. If we are going to see people as God sees them, some courage is required. We have to look beyond outward appearances to the qualities that are important to God. Fruits of the Spirit, we might say, such as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In many churches, nominating committees work each year to identify candidates to serve as elected leaders of the church. The committee's job is often difficult because many potential candidates are so stressed and busy that they decline the invitation to serve. Nominating committees often have to invite numerous candidates before they have a full slate of nominees. One year, a committee at one church had worked its way through its list from its top candidates to the bottom. They were almost out of people. But near the bottom of the list was a woman who had never been asked to serve. When she was invited, she accepted enthusiastically and she became one of the best elected leaders that church had ever had. Many potential candidates had to say no before the nominating committee got to her. That is because the Lord does not see as mortals see. Grace under pressure is shown when people show fitness and goodness in difficult situations, when they take a leap of faith, when they believe that God will provide a way, and when they listen carefully to what God is saying. Such people prove that God is always at work, developing new profiles in courage. May we demonstrate grace under pressure during this challenging time when our lives have been turned upside down. As we live through this health crisis, undergoing extraordinary steps to try to keep everyone safe and healthy, may we take leaps of faith, believing that God is with us and will provide a way for us, and then listen carefully and obediently to what God is saying. I close this message with a benediction which is attributed to St. Patrick. May the strength of God pilot us. May the power of God preserve us. May the wisdom of God instruct us. May the hand of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the shield of God defend us. And may the host of God guard us, now and forevermore. Amen.